Do you remember that Saturday Night Live skit from like the 80s when I think it was Phil Hartman and John Lovitz, and they're doing that big dramatic acting scene, and all he has to say is this one line is, "And so we're off to France."
You know
Do
what?
you
I
remember
vaguely do remember that. I loved Saturday Night Live in the 80s.
I can't find that one online. I want to know, I can't find that skit because I always loved that one. "And so we're off to France. Are
Best
we?" And they kept blowing it.
of John Lovitz?
Maybe. It might have been the best of Phil Hartman.
Yeah, I don't think they made a best of John Lovitz.
Oh, they sure did.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh, they made a best of David Spade.
Yeah, but even he seems to get a little bit more recognition than Lovitz.
Key point is, I'm off to France.
Oh, that's where you're going.
That's where I'm going. In fact, I'm back from France. When you're
Oh,
listening to this, I'm back from France.
great. How was it?
Awesome. Awesome. I had French fries every day.
Great. Did you have any pastries?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Pain au chocolat every day. I'm huge. I'm like Robert De Niro at the end of Raging Bull.
And so you're a, what, 2 packs a day smoker now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, everyone smokes there,
This is a long, they do. They ride around in their bicycles with a baguette hanging out the back.
right? Your kid smokes now.
Yeah, she has a beret.
She smokes the light cigarettes, though.
Yep, she likes black and white cinema. Hello and welcome to episode 137 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is.
Adam, Vancouver, BC, Canada.
What is going on, Adam?
Not much. I wish my last name was Lovitz, though. I love that name.
Lovitz. Yeah, I never
Yeah.
thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Love it. That's how I would say it.
That's how you just did say it.
Yeah. We would be a great cop team, a buddy cop duo. You'd be.
Whoa,
Oh, I'd be Dick from Duke, and you'd be Lovitz.
And I would only use my last name.
I'd call you L. But that's because we've worked together for so long.
Or what about J Love?
J Love. Oh, no, is your first name going to be John in the show?
Yeah.
No, we'll never know your first name.
Okay.
It'll be like, oh my God, like that'll be on the final episode. They'll reveal it, and it'll be like, all this time, Higgins was Robin Masters. Spoiler: if you haven't seen Magnum PI, spoiler.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that.
All right.
Plus, can you grow a mustache?
Yes.
I'll bet you can grow a fantastic mustache.
It's, you know what? It's actually like it's, I can grow a mustache, but it just, you know, like, I don't know, the Magnum PI mustache, it just works on his face. A mustache just looks wrong on my face. I need to have the goatee because just the mustache on its own, it doesn't work for me.
But on the flip side, with Magnum, while the mustache works on his face, the not mustache does not work on his face.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
true.
He's no Mr. Baseball when clean shaven. I'll tell you
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, no, it's true. But his, I find with my mustache, it's kind of wiry. Like it doesn't all kind of grow down. It kind of grows this way and that. So if I
Oh.
let the mustache get too long, it's just like it's like steel wool. It's like very pokey. It's Magnum's mustache looks like silky smooth.
He uses the conditioner though.
Mustache conditioner. He probably pitches mustache conditioner.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, if I had that
That's what I would
mustache.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd
Did you
open a
shoot
mustache.
anything?
Well, sorry. I
Oh.
was going to say I would open a mustache store if I was him.
What would it be called?
I don't know. Mustaches are us.
That's a good one.
Magnum's mustaches.
I think, yeah. I got nothing. I wish I hadn't asked that question because you'd think that I was setting myself up for a real zinger.
Magic mustaches.
Magic, I don't know. That sounds like a movie that you don't want to rent.
Or maybe you do.
Maybe you do. I meant you. Because you own it. That's why.
Box set.
Yeah. No, I have the Criterion collection of that one. The director's commentary is outstanding. did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I haven't gone anywhere, so it was still Disneyland photos.
Right, still Disneyland. Still sorting through your Disneyland photos months later.
For the next 3 weeks, I'll be sorting through Disneyland photos.
This is the last of our odd timing shows.
Right.
Our time shifters. So next week, when you hear, we'll be back to standard. So, but at this point, by the time you hear this, I will have shot a bunch of interesting things in France.
Well, I'm anxiously looking forward to that. I hope you have Eiffel Tower shots galore.
I'm not going to Paris.
Oh, that's too bad.
Unless, do they have Eiffel Towers like in every city in France?
I would think so. Don't they?
They do have Statue of Liberty in different towns.
Okay.
I'm not joking. I'm not even, like, it sounds like I'm joking. I've been to, there's a town in the east. Are you familiar with Alsace, the area?
No.
You should be. It was kind of a whole thing about the war, but...
No, I'm not familiar.
The Lost Provinces, Germany tried to... Alsace and Lorraine. Anyways, in Alsace, there's this town, Colmar, and they have... it's a great town. I highly recommend visiting it. But they have traffic roundabout, like a small traffic roundabout in the middle of nowhere. They have a small replica of the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
It's just it is completely random. Like you just pull up and you're like, okay, that's there.
How big are we talking? A small replica?
It's very, very small. I mean, it's I don't remember how big it is. It's very it's a lot smaller than the real one.
Could you put it on the dash of your car?
If you had a very large car.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have to have a huge, like the biggest car. No, it's sizable. Like you're not fitting it in your car at all.
Stand next to it and like be the same height?
I think it's taller than that.
Okay.
Not much, probably, but I didn't get out because it was a traffic circle, so I couldn't go and measure myself. Like when you're kids and you stand back to back, and well, yeah, we're the same height. I didn't do that with. What I can't even think of the nickname of the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
Liberty Mini, Girl.
Mini Liberty.
Yeah. Minlib. That's what it is. So anyways, there'll be no Eiffel Tower pics.
Okay.
I made the mistake one time of driving through Paris on the way home from a France trip.
Okay.
And we drove through with the RV with no map or GPS or anything. Just decided, hey, we'll pull off the highway and go see the Eiffel Tower. And you can essentially drive up to the Eiffel Tower. You can't go right underneath it, but you can drive up right to the base.
Okay.
Which we did. And then I thought, well, hey, while we're here, let's go find the Arc de Triomphe, you know, because the Champs-Élysées, it's right over there, probably.
Right.
So I did that, and then I drove the roundabout around the Arc de Triomphe, drove down the Champs-Élysées, and I was like, all right, this is Paris, man. I did it. Let's get out of here.
Right.
And as you can well imagine, finding the Eiffel Tower, very easy, because it just sticks up.
Right.
You know what doesn't stick up? The highway entrance. So, wow, do we see parts of Paris that, you don't need to see.
Right.
And like 3 hours of just kind of driving around with a map of France. Not a map of Paris, but a full map of France.
Nice.
Not recommended.
Are there a lot of mimes walking about in Paris?
Yes, that's every third person is just a mime.
Yeah. That's what I've got in my head. If I ever go to Paris, I expect to see a lot of mimes.
Well, that's why I couldn't find my way around, because it was like, okay, now I'm on Marcel Marceau Boulevard. Now there's Marcel Marceau Avenue. We're looking for Marcel Marceau Lane. Like, it's all looks the same.
Right.
Yeah. National hero.
Right.
So that's what I shot that interesting. Amazon. Buy,
that's
if you're buying stuff. It is to us. If you buy stuff on Amazon, which you probably do because it's pretty handy, buy it through our site and we win.
Okay.
You win, we win, everybody wins.
All right, I'm buying something right now.
Do it. Photo challenge from last week.
Okay.
Again, I knew you were going to be in Disneyland.
Yes.
And you know what happens in Disneyland at least twice a day?
Magic hour.
Magic hour. Wow, it's like you knew it.
They even call it magic hour or magic morning. They have like, if you, when you get your ticket, If you buy a 5-day pass, I think it, even if you buy a 3-day pass, or if you stay on one of the at one of the Disneyland resort hotels, mm-hmm. they have like basically an early entry for the first hour, okay. where you can get in, and they call it Magic Morning, or in the case of if staying at the Disneyland Resort Hotel, they call it the Extra Magic Hour.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was going to do a play on that, but then I just decided I didn't.
Yes. Okay. Well, I remember when I was a kid being at Disneyland, the Magic Hour, like, even though I never thought of it in terms of Magic Hour, I never realized what was going on, but it's a pretty fun time. Like mm-hmm. like when the sun kind of drops below the horizon and then the lights start to come on.
Yes.
Oh, like, is there still Main Street USA? Do they still do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Main Street USA, it's still there.
And so that's kind of what I had in mind. And that and my favorite, the two favorite things are also, two of them, because I like a lot of, I like Tom Sawyer's Island, which is gone now, I think.
I still think that exists.
I thought it was Pirates of the Caribbean now.
Well, you can take the canoes and paddle out to, I think, Tom Sawyer's Island. Pirates okay. of the Caribbean is just kind of another ride that's just on the, I don't know, I don't even know, they call that, I guess, Adventureland or Frontierland, I don't know, something like that.
So anyway, my favorite was that, but I also, I love the Jungle Ride, the Jungle Cruise.
The Jungle Cruise, a classic, yeah.
Classic. I love the jokes. I'd go around that many, many times just to hear the different stand-up comedians.
Okay.
So, some were funny and some were not.
Right, yeah.
But I also liked the French Quarter, in like the New Orleans area, because just the lights, the way the lights would come up, like it would just seem like a really cool place to be.
Okay, that's all changed now, but okay.
Okay, there's no more French Quarter?
Well, they have a New Orleans side, but it's actually in the other park, like in the newer California park they built.
Okay. Yes. So there you go. Anyway, that's Matt. So that was my thoughts on Magic Hour.
Okay.
So with that, let's have a look at the photos. You want to go first or second?
Doesn't matter.
Well, you go first because I'm going to rip you a new one.
Okay. I this is kind of a callback photo to what we talked about, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago when you said like you were the king of Jiffy.
Yes.
So I took this photo at Magic Hour, and believe it or not, I didn't take a lot of photos at Magic Hour.
Let's be perfectly clear. You didn't take this at Magic Hour.
I had to expose it differently, but this is, I can show you a photo that is Magic Hour appropriate, but it was just Jack in the stroller asleep 2 minutes before. But again, uh-huh. just exposed differently. And so I had to expose this for all of them, and they were in the shade. And so again, the background does get blown out, but I assure you this is taken at Magic Hour.
Okay, but if I look at the EXIF data,
yeah,
it's telling me it was taken at 6:30.
Yeah, that my camera might have been set off by an hour. I think it was more like 7:30.
Okay.
But I promise you this is Magic Hour.
Even if it's 7:30, I still have my doubts.
Okay, the sun's low, the shadows are long, and regardless, but this, the point of this photo was I wanted to take a photo, just a kind of a fun photo, and Jack fell asleep after dinner, and all this is what happens when you get a bunch of children aged 4 to 9, I think is the oldest, with a sleeping child. This was not prodded. They all decided that they were going to pose around Jack. And so,
really?
Yeah. And so I just thought, this is awesome because Al will appreciate this because even young children like to have fun at the expense of someone who's fallen asleep. So,
okay, now part, I'm going to step in and say, yes, I very much appreciate this. I actually like the photo for that reason.
Yeah.
On a technicality, not Magic Hour, but that's
all right. All right. Yeah. And again, we can say Magic Hour is any time where magic happens, and this is magic happening right before my eyes.
So. There you go. And you're in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. And we're, you know, so this is the sort of downtown Disney. But again, I can show you a photo snap 2 minutes earlier, which you absolutely will say it is Magic Hour.
Is the sun still in the sky?
Yes, but very
not
low.
Not Magic Hour.
Very low. It's mm-hmm. very low. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah. in behind buildings, so you wouldn't actually see the sun mm-hmm. directly. But anyways, yes, I do understand there's a technicality, but I just thought this was the photo I wanted to go with because it tells a story. And I just thought it was a good talking point as opposed to just a photo shot at Magic Hour.
Absolutely. I do like the fact, I like what's going on. I like the commitment on the little girl on the left. I like,
oh yeah. Yeah. She's a character it. And she's the other 4-year old in the group. So her and Jack were like best buddies. And I had some great pictures of those two walking hand in hand. I could have easily used one of those from actually Magic Hour. But again, I loved just all the different moves here. The one kid with his, you know, tongue out over Jack's head, the other one who just like an instant earlier was kind of stroking Jack's head. I like Sarah's kind of expression in that, what the heck's going on here? Do I want to participate or don't I want to participate? And I mean, Jack has no idea, because I haven't even shown him these photos, but this was just, yeah, to me, just good-hearted fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it is magic happening, so
yeah, there still. You go. So yeah, awesome. No, it's not. I'm not gonna say that it's the greatest photo of all time, but I probably do put this in their Disneyland scrapbooks from this trip, just because again, I just like the photo.
The next time I would have made the challenge be Disneyland scrapbook photos.
There you go. Then this would
then fit. Boom. Okay, yeah. It is a good photo, just not magic.
All right.
Okay, here's mine. See, here's mine. Mine less interesting in terms of subject matter, because you do have a lot going on. But it is Magic Hour.
Okay.
So there it is. There's the sun that's dipped below the horizon. You've got all these kind of glowy colors coming up. And that's what happened. And ultimately, I struggled. This was, I for a couple days in a row, we had glorious Magic Hour. But as you well know, when you have a 2-year-old, you aren't outside doing stuff at Magic Hour in the summer. Right. On the 49th parallel.
Right.
See, down in Los Angeles, Magic Hour is probably an hour before it is in Vancouver.
Okay.
Or 45 minutes, or what? I'm not sure how it works, because you're further south, the sun's going to set. It stays up longer in the north.
Okay.
So that there's a shift in that time. So for as you well know, around right now, Magic Hour is like 20 after 9 when the sun sets.
Okay.
And so how much time are you spending with your kid outside at 9:20?
Not much. No.
Not much. So the point is even though we had glorious Magic Hours, I never had a chance to take it. I took it for granted and thought, oh, we're going to have them all week. And then we didn't. So a couple nights ago, I went and shot, just desperation, I shot a Magic Hour that was just terrible. I would have used it if I hadn't shot this one, which was slightly better. I guess this one's fine. Like, I have nothing to you know, I like-ish what's going on here. There's no problem with it. I'm not going to print it and put it on my wall. But the other one was, oh my God, it was terrible.
Okay.
So there's that. So with that in mind, Magic Hour.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much to say. I mean, I think the photo is fine. I just don't like that, whatever that, is it a wire or fencing? Mm-hmm. Whatever that's running across the photo kills it for me.
That's interesting, because I shot that on purpose. It's a cow fence, like an electric cow fence.
Okay.
Yeah. So it means something to me, and you're right. If you don't know what it is, it's kind of out of place.
Yeah, that's it. It's for me, because I didn't know what it was, just far too distracting. I can't not stare at that.
No, fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. But otherwise, I mean, I like the exposure, and I like that one... I don't know, whatever kind of flower or plant or whatever that is, the one that sticks straight up kind of reminds me of a snowflake. But no, I definitely the colors are good. And yeah, no, I like it. Outside of that one, it looks like a telephone cord to me, you know, pulled really tight, like an old coily telephone cord.
Good point.
Yeah,
yeah. That's it. It isn't, but I hear you.
Okay. But otherwise, you win. Yours is Magic Hour. Mine isn't.
Yeah, it was just a default.
Still like my photo better, but that's fine.
Don't disagree with that.
All right.
There's that. Got an email from a new listener in California.
Okay.
Maybe you met her while you're there, although it was a different part of the state.
Okay.
Where you were. So Catherine in California. Is listening to the show. Hasn't caught up all the way. I mean, she was asking about baseball. Because her son plays baseball.
Okay.
And she said, hey, how about some tips on baseball? And I wrote her an email, and I was answering, and the email started to get longer and longer as I was telling her stories about my breakfast and shoes and stuff like that. I keep it about me.
Right.
No, but as I was writing more and more about baseball tips, I thought, wow, this is getting long. Do I want to keep doing this? Yes, of course, but how about we just turn this into an episode? So it's an oddly specific episode. If you have, if you're not going near a baseball diamond, wow, you're in for a rough ride right now.
Okay, but, I'm probably not, so I'm going to tune out on this one.
You might down the road, and there's some interesting takeaways regardless, so thanks for your enthusiasm.
Okay, before we talk about baseball, can I just say that I did some Two Hosers promoting while I was in Disneyland?
Yes, what'd you do?
Yeah, like, and you kind of, on the last episode, said I was that guy, the guy with the off-camera flash.
Mm-hmm.
But on two different occasions, I had, you know, people who are interested come over and ask me about, you know, what that was, what I was doing. And both times, turns out they were interested in cameras, and they were, you know, sort of amateur photographers who I turned into, hopefully, Two Hosers listeners. And they took down the details and said, yeah, they were going to check it out. So there you go. There I am on the road, family time, promoting the podcast.
You're making it happen.
Yeah, I never stop working. That's what I'm saying.
So all those bad things I said about you off the air, I take those back.
Yeah, yeah. Take them back.
Whew, taking back. Done.
Yeah. So
good.
There you go.
So
baseball. Baseball.
If you're listening, new people that from Disneyland, hello and welcome.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's as creepy as it gets.
Okay.
So Catherine asked about how to shoot baseball. And so I thought, okay, let's start. First of all, start with my equipment. What I used to shoot, because she hadn't caught up yet and realized that I'd come out of retirement. It was just kind of a random question. She had no idea I played baseball and had been shooting baseball. I've been shooting a lot of baseball lately. And so, luckily she came to the right place ish.
Okay.
I'm sure there's probably someone better. Let's assume there is, but they're not doing a podcast today. So listen up.
Or maybe they are. Maybe there's the Baseball Photography Podcast. If there is, just listen to that one.
Yeah, BPP. Check it out, bpp.com. Yeah, yeah. It's good, but he has a funny accent and kind of a lisp, so it's hard to listen to. It's like a sibilance thing that it's hard.
Okay.
So there you go. So equipment. So first off, I want to talk about what equipment I use. I use my 40D.
Okay, and that's for the extra frames per second?
It is the extra FPS, frames per second.
So you should. Why don't you just go out and buy a 7D?
I would probably get a 1DX or whatever the workhorse is now. Yeah. If I was going to go out and be a professional photographer of baseball or any sports, I would do that. I would likely, you have to go and buy the hammer. But I already have a 40D.
Right.
So with me, my options are either the 40D, I got the 5D Mark II, and I have the 5D Classic. Not much point in using the 5D Classic. I could use the 5D Mark II, but the frame rate is like whatever it is, 3.5 frames per second.
Right.
Which is good. If that's all I had, I would shoot with that. However, the 40D is 6.5 frames per second or whatever they advertise. Right. I've never put it on the bench and tested it.
How good is the autofocus on that for, you know, the servo?
Don't know.
So you don't use the servo when you shoot baseball? Never. Nope. Always focus trapping.
Correct.
All right. Well, let's hear how you do that.
Well, that's coming up.
All right.
So yeah, I go for the faster frame rate. Now, I use my 70-200 f/4 is the lens I use. I don't bother with anything else. When I'm shooting, because I, you know, obviously you're not on the field, right. So you need that long reach. And I don't mind the crop factor on the 40D. Essentially, it's the same. If I was shooting with the 5D on a full frame, I would likely be cropping those images into the center anyways,
mm-hmm.
just because I got, you know, you can't get in close enough with the 200.
Right.
If I had a 400 or the 600 mil or something like that, then it would be different. But I don't have that. So with the 70-200, the 40D is almost the exact same camera as the 5D Mark II, just with a higher frame rate. So
okay.
For me, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to use the 40D.
Yeah.
I shoot manual exposure, first of all.
Okay.
Almost exclusively, unless the clouds are in and out. Like if you're in a really bad situation where the clouds are just whipping around and the sun's in and out, well, then you might want to go with AV mode. because things happen pretty fast. But if you're out there on like a sunny day or just a consistent cloudy day, stick with manual exposure, because you'll find that exposures are going to be pretty even across the field, no matter where what happens.
Okay.
For the most part, if you're in a stadium where you, all of a sudden you have shadow coming across, like you see that happen, you know, if you watch some of the pro games, you'll watch that shadow creep out towards the mound as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
That might change your exposure, but I'm not shooting in a pro stadium.
Right.
I tend to set my aperture at about f/5.6.
Okay.
I don't vary from that very often. I mean, sometimes I'll go to 4, maybe up to 8, depending on what I'm shooting. But for the most part, I find that 5.6 is a nice balance between depth of field and being able to focus.
Right.
So it gives me a nice drop-off, a nice blurred background, yet my subject still remains in focus.
Right.
Next step is I set the ISO. Now, you're out there on a sunny day. Your instinct is
ISO 100, or the lowest that your camera will do?
Absolutely. That is your instinct. Your instinct is incorrect.
Okay. Because you want the shutter speed?
You want absurd shutter speeds. You want to push the envelope of what your camera will do. Now, the 40D will handle 1/8,000th of a second.
Okay.
Now, I think your cameras do 1/4,000th?
Yeah, both of them are 1/4,000th.
Still pretty quick. Pretty quick, but you want to get as fast as you can. So I normally operate at around 1/8,000th if I can, or 1/6,400th or something like that, just to give myself a little, you know, 1/3 of a stop wiggle room.
Okay.
So instead of setting ISO 100, you set it to 800 or 640 or maybe 320 if it's really sunny. That's going to give you crazy shutter speeds of 1/8,000th at f/5.6.
Okay.
Now, what this is going to do is going to absolutely freeze the action. You know, if let's say a guy's pitching, and in some of the leagues, you know, you'll go see guys throwing 90 miles an hour, you're going to want to stop that ball. That's tough to do at 1/1,000th of a second.
Okay.
So 1/8,000th is going to be much better. Now, ideally, you're going to want to try to catch the ball on the bat. Like when you snap a photo, you'd like to freeze the ball hitting the bat. That'd be ideal. Again, you need a crazy shutter speed for that.
Okay.
Now, shooting at ISO 800 is going to introduce some noise. Generally.
Unless you have the greatest camera ever, I don't know, whatever, the Mach Canon 5D, Mach 65.
Right. Exactly. But for the most part, I mean, yeah. even then...
Still some noise, yeah.
You're going to get some noise, but for me, the trade-off is it's a no-brainer. Absolutely, positively going to trade off a little bit of noise for high shutter speeds.
Right.
Now, here's where it's really good. Is when you're outside, high ISO noise is not as bad as it is when you're inside.
Okay.
So ISO 1600 outside is going to look better than ISO 1600 inside.
I will take your word for it. I'm pretty sure I know this from looking at photos, but I have never tried to figure out why that's the case, but I will take your word for it.
ISO 100 will look better outside than ISO 1600 outside. There's no question. It still looks better.
Right.
But keep in mind, you're not comparing it to 1600 shot in the dark. It's kind of when you have enough light, it tends to, the noise is not as apparent.
Okay.
So don't be afraid to really crank up your ISO outside. Totally worth
it. I think that's a good tip. I don't know that that's ever been mentioned before.
Okay. Set next thing is...
We're out of here. We're done. That's
we're
it.
We're done. You know, yeah. All right. That's always a walk-off home run right there.
Yeah.
Next, set your camera to burst mode.
Okay.
For the whole day. As fast as possible. Like with the 40D, you have an option. You can do slow at like 2-3 frames per second, or you can do the high-speed burst at 6.5.
Okay.
Set it to 6.5. As many frames per second as your camera will handle, use that.
Now, here's my question. Let me stop you for a second. So if you're shooting at, because I don't have a camera that shoots frames per second as fast as 6. Mm-hmm. So if you're shooting, how many shots can you take at that in RAW before your camera has to buffer?
Depends on the camera.
Yours specifically.
Mine specifically, I don't know. I don't fill it. It's like 18 or something.
And so you're shooting all in RAW and it's not an issue.
Correct. Right.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know.
Some of the new cameras, like, you can put on JPEG and you can basically fill the cards. You can shoot like 1,000 now.
Okay.
With the 40D, I forget what it is. Maybe it's 11. Maybe it's 15. I don't even know. I don't normally get there. The action happens fast enough. Like, it's over quick enough that I never fill the buffer.
Okay.
And as you well know with baseball, there's about 45 minutes between interesting things. And so you have plenty of time to, you could probably go download them in your car, to your laptop in your car, and come out and, you know, catch something interesting.
Okay.
That's how much time you have. So, that's what I say, put on burst mode as fast as possible. And I fire at least 3 shots every time I pull the trigger. Like, it's very rare that I shoot a one-er. Even if it's a guy just standing still, you never know what's going to happen right that one instant. So I'll fire 3 and probably delete all 3. For action shots, I do fire until the buffer is full. I don't, but I would if my buffer was smaller.
Okay.
Or until the play is over, which is typically what happens with me, is the play ends and I'm done. Now, that means you're going to get a lot of throwaways. You're going to have a lot of editing to do later, but you'll be glad for it because you'll have that one shot out of the sequence of 8 will be fantastic.
Right.
So, next thing. Now, that's the technical stuff. Any questions about the technical part?
No.
Do you use a monopod?
Do I? I don't do this, so no. Do you?
No, I don't. Some people do. If I had a 600 mil lens, I would. I don't. At 200 mils, I can hold it still, and at 1/8,000th of a second, I never really notice any issue.
Okay.
Having a monopod would be pretty good, but you got to run around with that, and, you know, it's no fun.
Extra thing to hold on to.
Extra thing to hold on to. Again, if you have a longer lens, you're going to want that.
Plus, I think, you know, certain camera gear makes you look cool. Monopods, to me, make you look like a dork.
Or extremely cool, like that is bookended.
No. If it looks like a walking stick,
right? But if you have it set up, if you carry it just right, you do look like a champ. Generally, okay. if you have a really long lens that is painted camouflage, and then you have like a photo vest, you look good.
Okay,
you look like $1 million.
All right.
If you're just some cheesehead walking around with just a monopod, not even a camera, yeah, you're gonna get stopped.
Okay.
So that's my advice. Always have a camera if you have a monopod.
I would be next to the guy with the monopod with the shirt that has the finger pointing saying, I'm with Dorky.
Yes. Monodork. Right. Okay, so that's the tech stuff out of the way.
All right.
Now, here's the important part. You have to know where the action is going to happen.
Okay.
To shoot baseball. Like, you have to anticipate. Now, a couple good spots to start with. Let's say your kid's the pitcher. That's good. A lot of stuff is happening with the pitcher.
Right.
He controls the game. There's a lot of good stuff. Like, he's in every single play. So that's a great place to start. Now, where do you stand to shoot the pitcher?
Good question. I don't know the answer.
If you can, get on the field. That's better. Then you don't have to shoot through the screen.
If you can't?
If you can't, you have to shoot through the screen. But I recommend that you stand as close to the screen as you can. Basically, shoot through one of the holes. And if you have a long enough lens, you might not even see the screen at all. And you might end up getting a slight light gray vignetting around your images, which you can kind of get rid of with the contrast slider, and you probably won't notice it.
Okay.
But that's, I mean, for the most part, I have shot some stuff through the screen. It looks fine. It's not ideal. I'd rather not, but you also don't get hit with the ball. So that's nice.
Right.
Once you're out there, I try to get different angles of the pitcher on his delivery. Maybe I might want to shoot him from the side. I like to shoot him. I like to get their face in the shot if I can, because a lot of facial expressions are interesting. So maybe you're gonna stand like in either of the dugouts and get a shot from that way. If you can get a shot from behind the umpire, now that's one that you probably should get through the screen.
Right.
But stand off just off to the one side or the other to get a shot of the pitcher front on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, generally, if there's a left-handed batter, I will stand on the other side. I'll go to the right hand batter's box side and get a shot of the pitcher that way.
Right. Don't stand directly behind the batter.
Well, no, because you'll have the umpire and the catcher in the way as well.
Right.
And so you have a lot of people in the way there. And if you go too far the other way, you don't get the head-on shot. So that's what I end up doing.
Okay.
Now, what I try very hard to do is I get coverage. I make sure I get some wide shots and then mostly tight shots.
Okay.
So get a couple with the umpire and the catcher and the hitter in the shot to establish what's going on, and then just focus on what's important, in this case the pitcher. You're just going to zoom in tight and just shoot a whole bunch of shots on burst, and you'll get some really interesting shots that way.
Okay.
Now, the other spot that you can shoot is obviously when someone's hitting. And there's the same kind of options here. You can stand behind and try to get them from behind the screen. It's an interesting perspective. You can go stand out in center field and shoot them from that angle if you can get zoom in far enough, which with a 200 mil lens, you probably can't.
Right.
So you're going to end up doing a little bit of zooming and cropping to get a decent tight shot.
Which, nowadays with cameras having 6,000 megapixels, still you can do that.
You can do that, and you're going to get good results for Facebook.
Right.
You're going to get a nice Facebook banner picture out of that, but really, other than that, it's not awesome.
But, okay.
Now if you have a 600 mil lens, then yeah, now you're in luck. But generally, I try to stand on whatever side the hitter is. If he's like a right-handed hitter, I'm going to stand on the first base side, just so we can see their face again when they swing.
Right.
So but in that respect, the other side can be good too, because now you see them swinging and you see their number, and that's kind of a cool thing to see. So again, get coverage. Shoot from both sides of the plate.
Stand anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, the good news is your kid's probably going to get more than one AB at bat.
Yeah, I got it.
Well, okay. And so you can, get one from each side.
Okay.
And so again, I in this situation, I'll shoot one establishing shot and then stay tight for the rest. And what I do is I leave a little bit of room when I'm framing it up. I don't worry about the umpire and the catcher. I just kind of crop that, like I frame them out. And then I leave a little bit of room in front of the batter, like out towards the field.
Okay.
So that the ball can enter and exit and we can still see the ball. So what I do is I have it lined up, I'm focused on the batter, and then I sort of keep my other eye open so I can watch the pitcher start to deliver the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And when the ball is about a half away or two-thirds the way to the plate, that's when I start my burst. And I do it on every pitch. Because you never know when they're going to swing.
Right.
So ultimately, you want, the whole goal is to get them hitting the ball. That looks really cool. So that's when I start my burst, all the way through the swing, and then repeat.
Okay.
If I have time between pitches, I will actually delete a couple of ones. Like, if he doesn't swing, I'll probably just delete a couple really quickly if I can, just to save myself some time later.
Right.
So you end up getting a lot of wasters, but it's worth the trouble.
Okay.
Okay. Now, last, in the field, baseball fielding doesn't always translate in a photo. The excitement doesn't work in the still. Like a fly ball.
Unless they're diving for a catch or something.
Right. If there's something really awesome happening, great. But for the most part, a routine fly ball or a routine ground ball looks pretty boring when it's just a snapshot.
Okay.
So to maximize your chances of getting an interesting photo, you should focus your attention on second base. That's where most of the interesting things happen.
Yeah, like catcher trying to catch a guy stealing or...
Double play,
yeah.
Yeah, that's where all the flamboyant stuff is happening. So once you get a runner on base, don't worry about what's happening at first base, nothing. Pickoff plays are boring.
Yeah.
What you want to do is kind of set up, ideally you'll set up over sort of behind third base in foul territory, and you'll then pre-focus on second base.
Okay.
You get your exposure set, you'll be pre-focused on second base, which is a focus trap.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a waiting game. You're going to wait for the runner to steal or to run on a hit. Hopefully it'll be a double play, because that's when you get the best action. You get a lot of stuff going on. The ball's in there. People are jumping up. They're sliding. There's dust. A lot of action going on.
Okay.
And same kind of thing right there is you just fire until your buffer's full or the play's over. Now, there's other stuff going to happen. There's going to be stuff around the field, of course. Maybe you know, a guy slides into home. That's something that you can do, but the chances, your chances of it happening are greatly reduced because it doesn't happen as often as it does at second base.
Right.
So, there you go. Now, lens, as I talked about earlier, long lens is necessary. So, if you have a 200mm lens, that's where I would start with.
Right.
Like something that reaches 200. If you don't have one...
What about the extenders?
I'm sure those would be fine, especially out you don't have enough light when you're out playing baseball, because it does eat a stop of light. You're talking about like a magnifier?
Yeah, like that'll take a 200 and turn it into a 400 or a right. 600, yeah.
Those will work fine. I mean, you are introducing more glass, and so therefore, you know, you are losing some light and a little bit of sharpness, but not really. It's kind of negligible. What I would do is you have to ask yourself how many awesome professional shots do you need of your kid playing baseball? Do you need one every single week?
Yes.
You do. Okay, then you're going to want to go and buy the 400mm lens.
Okay.
What I would do is I would not buy it. I would go and rent it. Find out when they're playing a tournament, a weekend tournament, and then I would rent that lens for the weekend, which is probably going to cost you $100, and go out and just fill your boots. Just shoot a whole bunch of pictures, and I would even talk to the other kids' parents on their team and say, look, I'm going to do this. If everybody kicks in $5 or $10 to help offset the cost of the rental, I'll shoot pictures of your kids too.
Right.
And next thing you know, you're off the races. And so even if you're shooting with your intro camera, your whatever, the Nikon 3100 or the T3i or whatever it is that you're shooting with,
yeah,
the lens is going to make all the difference.
Right.
You know, obviously the frames per second helps. You'll get better pictures, but still, I wouldn't even worry about it. I would go and shoot with that and use the big fancy lens.
Okay.
So baseball, that's pretty much how I shoot baseball.
Great.
So the challenge now is you have to go out to a Vancouver Canadiens game.
Yeah, I want to go, actually. It's on my summer bucket list.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. They're actually getting big crowds, and they're selling out most nights. Like, it's really a hot ticket in town.
I think it might have happened while you were gone, but Gretzky was there the other day.
Yeah, his kid was on, I'm trying to think of what
Boise.
Boise, okay, yeah, they came through here maybe, I don't know, again, we're in the space time warp, but maybe 2 weeks ago.
Right, yeah, I saw that on the news, so, and, yeah, so go check out a game at the Nat. I love Nat Bailey, I miss Nat Bailey, it's a good place to go.
I've never been, so.
Pardon me?
Nope, never been. Never been to a game, I've been out there, I've never actually been to a game at Nat Bailey.
Have you been into the stadium?
Yeah.
How would you be in the stadium from those?
I can't remember the context of it, but it was a number of years ago, and I want to say about 5, and we played a slow pitch baseball game right there, and we got to, I just kind of did a walk around and checked it out. But yeah, there was no game going on that day, and that was in the period where the Canadians were not playing there. They moved mm-hmm. the team, and then I guess, was it AAA before, and then they brought it over to, now they brought over the single A team?
Right, it was AAA, and they left town, and then for a year or two there was no team, and then
yeah, and that's season, the window I was able to get in there.
Right, I used to play there, actually, not for the Canadians, but our league played there.
Yeah, and that is exactly how I got in, because it was no big deal to get in at that point, from what I remember.
Yeah, I mean, so anybody traveling to Vancouver in the summertime, I highly recommend taking in a game at Nat Bailey. It's single A, but you know, the baseball is good. Mm-hmm. And the price of beer is very high, but it's okay. It's worth it to catch a game there. It's a nice little stadium with the great backdrop of Little Mountain, Queenie Park. mm-hmm. is right behind there with all the trees and all that. So I highly recommend that. So
yeah, and apparently, like I said, it is a hot ticket right now. So I don't think they've ever been this popular. Yeah.
No, it used to be like we used to go. You could buy a ticket from the Safeway.
Yeah.
You could buy it for a dollar.
Yeah.
When they were AAA even.
No, they're pricier, and it's like you say, they're hard tickets to get, and they are selling out. So
wow, there you go.
Yeah,
dude, go do it. Go do a nooner if you can do a nooner at the Nat, they call it.
Yeah, that's what I anticipate doing so that the kids can go and everything.
Bring sunscreen. Well, they can go at night too. At night, and I'll tell you what, magic hour. That's what you should shoot your magic hour. When the sun drops and those lights come up on the field and that kind of glowing green field. Mm-hmm. I just got goosebumps. I honestly miss that an awful lot from when, wow. when I was playing, not there, but other parks as well. Like when the sun would just kind of go down and the lights would come up. It was just an amazing time to be out there playing.
But would it be better than, you know, when a four-year-old falls asleep and a bunch of kids make fun of him?
At noon? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay. So there's that. No, it's actually next week's challenge, though. Vacation.
Okay.
That's it. Just vacation. So if you can get a shot of Chevy Chase with Beverly D'Angelo, we're good. That's the ideal.
All right.
Otherwise, shoot your vacation.
Okay.
And that's it. Amazon. Buy stuff from Amazon through us. Thank you. That's it.
Great.
Adam, where can people find your stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com and Two Hosers Facebook site.
Absolutely. Meet mine at AlanAttridge.com and the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links to everything you need, like Facebook.
Right.
Google+, G+, Google+, whatever it's called, and the rest of it, Twitter. It's all on there. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.